Well, Derek, let's first talk about your murder. You had said, if you don't get robbed tonight, that you are going to be murdered, which you were. I guess talk to me about sort of why you pulled the trigger that night. And I was curious about the timeline with when Rob started going after Wes and if that had to play into it.
Yeah, it definitely played into it. So I knew Rob was a traitor after Bob the Drag Queen. I think Wes did as well. But it was about numbers. And I thought people were starting to catch on to it and we would have more numbers. You saw you saw Ivor and Sam mentioning that if Rob was still there, they were going to go after him. Like people were starting to put the pieces together. At least I thought they were. And what they didn't show was that Rob did come to me as well and say, "Hey, what do you think about Wes?" That's all he said to me. But I told Wes that. And so I knew what Rob was doing, as a great player would do. He was going after the independent thinkers. Anybody who would be vocal and go against the grain, he wanted them out, whether it was through banishment or through murder. And, not all the players were the same, but they all kind of had that similar trait. And so, if anything, I probably waited too long. I probably done it sooner when you still had people like Bob H there, where I maybe could present this logical argument. They would separate their personal feelings and vote based on facts. By the time I made the move, there were people who were pretty ingrained with Rob and liked him as a person and didn't like Wes. So, because of that, I think the rationale was, hey, let's vote for Wes, whether he's a faithful or a traitor, doesn't matter. We don't like him. And then we can go for Rob tomorrow. Unfortunately, that was at my expense.
So why was Wes so hesitant to go after Rob when he was one saying his name and two, did Wes know Rob was a traitor and just didn't care or?
Yeah, I think he thought he was. I don't think you can never be 100% sure. I wasn't 100% sure. There was a point when I'm giving that monologue and I'm explaining Rob's origin story and all this stuff. I'm like, this sounds really good. But I'm also thinking, if I'm wrong, my professional career as a detective is over. Like this, they're going to show this whole thing and I'm going to look like an idiot. So, but you never truly know. And I'm sure just like I was thinking it could be Wes. Wes was thinking it could be me, and he doesn't want to be made to look stupid. So he was in for it. And especially after he started hearing his name, he knew he had to. What I think he didn't anticipate was the reasonings behind going after him when people started saying he was aggressive and things like that. He didn't plan for that. And so he reacted pretty viscerally. And ultimately, I think that's what really contributed to him going home. It wasn't necessarily what Rob said, it was more so what Wes said. And ultimately, I think that's why he went.
Interesting. Yeah, I want to know your thoughts on Sam and Ivor, who were super vocal about Rob being a traitor, not voting for him to go, because you were only one vote away. Was that frustrating?
Why you gotta bring it up? Why you gotta bring it up?
I'm
Yeah,
just
no, it's extremely frustrating because you think about the variables, right? You think about if Carolyn and Danielle aren't fighting that night, right? Carolyn votes for Rob. Now it's a tie. Now it's me versus Rob again at a tiebreaker. I like my chances, but he's great too. So it would have been good to watch. You think about Dolores throwing away her vote, little things like that, how it could have changed. And then you got to take accountability yourself. I maybe could have been more vocal with Sam and Ivor. But to be honest, they had mentioned it the night before, and we saw what happened when you told Ivor information. Wes told him he went and ran to Rob. So it's a lose-lose. I felt like we had the numbers. I felt like logic would obviously win above all. But unfortunately, you're not playing with all gamers. You're playing with people who are on a lot of different shows and they're paid to be there because of the emotion that they bring to the table. So I think that was a factor that I didn't put into my equation.
Yeah, as the votes were, being read, I could see your face. Were you like, dude, this guy's gonna get away with it again? Like slowly as they go around.
At that moment, I was actually thinking, Wes, I hate you. I was like, because like when he said, if you vote for me tonight, I'm coming for you. I was like, it's over. It's over. On to next week. Plan my obituary. It's over. I knew it was done because the reaction to that, what you saw on TV, was exactly what it was in person. There was a gasp. There was like an audible gasp of like, did he just say what I think he did? And I was like, oh, you just lost half the table, bro. And I mean, like, we only had half the table to begin with. And I also think you'd have to ask him, but that may have contributed to how Sam and Ivor voted, where they're like, oh, I see the way this is going. I don't want to be the outlier,
That's
So,
a good point.
yeah.
Talk to me about, telling Dylan that Rob was a traitor and that you also suspected Brittany.
Yeah.
Give me your sort of reasoning behind that. Obviously, he didn't seem to listen.
No, poor Dylan. So when Brittany confronts me after the round table, you know, I do think she's a traitor at that point. She's calling me out. She's guilt tripping me after defending Rob and getting out one of our best faithful. And at that point, I already have let the traitors, Rob, know that I'm on to him. So what does it matter at that point if I tell another traitor I'm on to them as well? My hope was that I would still be there the next day. And my question to myself was, how do I get Brittany to go against Rob? She's not going to do it. How do I get it? You know how you do it? You turn them against each other. So by calling her a traitor, if her name's on the chopping block as well, she's going to be more preoccupied defending herself rather than Rob. So the design was there. The implementation didn't work out, but I will say it did work out in the end, just not the way I planned. But listen, it was a strategic move. I knew Dylan was going to tell people, and my hope was that Brittany's name would get out there in the next roundtable. If I was still there, she would have to vote with me against Rob. But worst case scenario, she went home. I love Brittany, but at that point, because I thought her radar was off, if she went home as a faithful, I wasn't like upset about it. It was fine because she wasn't with me, which is unfortunate because up until that point, I was leaning towards Danielle. We both were. We both thought she was a traitor after the Riddle competition. And then when Brittany did what she did on day six, I was like, wow, she got me. Like, here she is finally speaking up at a round table, showing her cards. She got me. And, you know, when I did my after show, I think it comes out today. They asked
me. I just watched it.
Okay. I don't know if they had it in there or not, but they asked me who I thought the traitors were. And I said, Brittany or Danielle and Rob. And unfortunately, it was Danielle. And I didn't know about Carolyn. I had no clue about her.
Yeah, props to Carolyn. She was flying under the radar. But in terms of Danielle, yeah, she was like a little, obviously she took your name or photo off the wall. Talk to me about that. Like, that had to raise your suspicions. Like, what is going on here? Is she trying to like distance herself from you to like appear?
I was confused by it. I didn't get it. Some of the reactions in there are maybe not the way they were in
edited.
The
yeah.
Body. Yeah. But I was confused by it, especially for Tom Sandoval. I didn't think he was an ally for her, so it didn't make sense to me there. But it wasn't only her moves. It was just her demeanor. It wasn't Danielle Reyes that I know. It wasn't the one person that I've known for 10 years. And there was something off. And in the game like this, you're looking for subtleties. There's no overt thing that says, oh, they're a traitor. It's patterns of banishments and murders and the little subtleties that you pick up in their cues throughout the day. And it's tough because you have to develop a baseline on a person, like who they are before they became a traitor. And unfortunately for me, I wasn't there before people became traitors. So there was no baseline. So for example, with Sierra, we were trying to keep the heat off the Cage Boys. And when the coffins happened, I was calling them the Coffin Queens. They didn't make the show, but that's what I was calling them. And we immediately loved the fact that they were there and that happened because that was a blessing for us. So we immediately put the attention on Sierra and Nikki. And I, you know, you saw me say like, Sierra, you swear a lot. I swear just as much as her. But that's all I had. And I hadn't seen her before traitors were selected, but I didn't really care. I wanted the heat on her and Nikki because that would keep it off the traitors. So yeah, you look for those little subtleties. Danielle, to me, it's not as overt as they're making it in the show. Obviously, you guys know who the traitors are, so it's always like, duh. But she's playing a better game than you probably think. And I guess you guys will see how it all works out.
I mean, she's still there, so I give her
props. She's still there, and I'm here from heaven talking to you.
Wait, I have so many things now. First of all, real quick with Brittany and Rob, did we like miss something? Are they like friends that we missed? Because that was also weird to me.
You tell me. I don't know. Brittany hadn't said anything at the roundtables leading up to it. And I've talked to her since, and that was a design, right? She wanted to stay in the shadows. She didn't want to talk. And I was cool with that. I was there for a different thing. I wanted to play aggressively. I wanted to catch the killers. I wanted to go after the bad guys. I knew the minute I came in there in the cages, I wasn't going to win. And so it was more about doing the best I could with what I had and trying to actually figure one of them out. When Brittany started being vocal that day, the way she approached me about Rob and then speaking up at the round table and actually stepping over me when I was trying to convince people, I was like, wow, she's finally showing who she is. She's defending Rob because Rob's the main traitor and she needs him in this game. And I think even like I busted her chops about it. I'm like, I'm going to, you know, you were Rob's defense attorney. If I ever need one, I'm going to call you. And she's like, deserved, you know, deserved. But she also has her perspective. She was pissed that I didn't go to her first. And in fairness, maybe I should have. But based on our conversations, she still was voting Wes out. She's told Wes to his face since the show, like, I didn't trust you. I didn't want you there. You were going. It's just that simple. Everyone's got to do what they want to do. And again, Brittany's still there. I think for Brittany and Danielle, they've been on a lot of shows. They've never won. They want to get that W. And so I can't blame them for playing a more conservative game. I had different ambitions. Mm. And so everyone's got to do, you know, walk their own path.
Yeah. Obviously we didn't see it, but did you, Danielle and Brittany, ever have conversations together, the three of you?
Maybe early on, we never wanted to be grouped together as a big brother trio. We did have conversations. And, you know, even during the stone competition, I had helped Brittany get her shield up there. I came back down the hill to get her head up there. And I helped Danielle as well. And me and Brittany had a very heartfelt conversation in the kitchen that didn't make air, but we were almost crying because it was like, thank you for doing that, whatever. And I love both of them. I just want to put that out there right now. You saw the episode with Danielle and she was like, oh, I hope he forgives me. The minute I got murdered, the game's over for me. And that's the good thing about gamers is it's over for them as well. I'm cool with Brittany. I'm cool with Danielle. Texting and talking to Rob all the time. Same thing with Dylan. Everybody. It's a game. It's for entertainment. So once it's over, it's over.
I will say, I got to call you out a little bit though, just because I just watched that, that little, what do they call it? After the, I don't know, they revealed the traitors. You did say you were a little bit hurt by Danielle. Was it more just like the shock or like?
Yeah. No, definitely in that moment, I was definitely hurt by her for sure. In that moment, I didn't realize we were having a lot of personal conversations. You know, we were having a lot of personal conversations off camera, and you talk about things that, you know, don't make the show, but they allow you to trust that person a little bit more. And so my conversations with Danielle off camera were much deeper than my conversations with Brittany. And so emotionally, I was more hurt by it. But, you know, I was surprised that in spite of what I was doing to protect them, that's how it went. But it's a good move. It was the right move watching it back. You know, her getting me out lowered Rob's guard and allowed her to get him. So fair play to her. But yeah, listen, I love them too. You know, they're great. And it's always going to hurt when you know it's one of your closest allies who got you out. But as far as it being personal for me, I hold no ill will. Now, I can't say that for everybody else.
Yeah,
looking forward to the reunion. I will be sitting there eating my popcorn.
Yeah. Was Danielle, would you say she was your number one, or was it more like Wes and Straw? Like,
no, it was Danielle. Yeah. Danielle. I mean, I was kind of bouncing between. I mean, from a strategic perspective, it was probably Wes only because I knew if I was right, he couldn't be a traitor.
Right.
So from an analytical perspective, I was like, oh, I got to work with Wes. But Danielle, on a personal level, she was one of the first people to congratulate me after winning Big Brother. I never forgot that. And she's the best player to never win. So it's one of those things where I look up to her. I think she's a good person. And we've had a lot of personal conversations over the years. And definitely, she was struggling in there emotionally, as you can tell. That's real. And so there was a lot of times where I was, you know, with her, talking to her, you know, trying to, you know, help her out as best as I could. And so it lowered my guard. I almost felt like a big brother,
yeah.
I guess. I wanted to protect him, but it's a game, man. It's a game. And she was assigned that role. She didn't have a choice. So
what was it like watching sort of her and Brittany? I mean, again, this could be editing, but coming together after sort of your murder, it seems like they almost got closer.
Yeah, I do. I think they got closer as well. I think it was more so Rob that allowed them to get closer because Danielle was concerned about Rob. Brittany was, I don't know what Brittany's thing is with Rob or what it was. But once Rob went, I think there was a lot of weight lifted off a lot of shoulders because it seemed to me like people knew, but they were just afraid because Rob's such a good talker. Nobody was willing to take the shot at him. And I was like, nah, I'm doing it. I'm not sitting here waiting to be murdered so I can be up in this confessional with my letter going, man, if I had one more day, I was really going to give it to him. I wasn't going to do that. So I had to do it. And I think people were surprised by it, but honestly, I had more fun playing traitors than I did Big Brother because I just played more loosely. I was more comfortable.
I'm not surprised you said that at all.
Well, you've known me for years. Do you think watching Big Brother and watching traitors, what do you think is more representative of how I am off camera?
Yeah, traitor. Well, yeah, a Big Brother is like not really. I don't feel like that's necessarily
wasn't a
you.
Character the whole time.
Yeah.
Wasn't a character the whole time. Traitors was great.
Was it, you had to at least feel vindication when Rob went out right after you though, right?
It's bittersweet. It's bittersweet because, you know, it's a cool ending to the kind of our arc because we went at it toe to toe and it almost feels like, You know, we took our shots at each other and we both died from our injuries. So in that sense, it's cool. But I do watch that round table and they're like, yeah, you know, you did say this and this person went home and you did, you know, the way you can. And I'm like, yeah, it sounds familiar. Somebody just said that to you last night. And then you have Sam and Ivor having these epiphanies where now they're like, yeah, you know, we've been on to you. And I'm like, what? But yeah, so kind of bittersweet. Honestly, if Rob would have went all the way at that point, I wouldn't have cared. In fact, I would have been like, you guys deserve
it. Good
this.
On you. Yeah.
So he's a legend. I mean, listen, he's played in what, 10, 15 shows. Wes has played in like 10, 20 shows. This was my second show. So I shouldn't even have been in there with them. And I felt like I held my own. So I was happy with it.
I was going to say, Derek, you've done obviously like crime shows and stuff outside of reality TV, but coming back and competing, what was the experience? Was it something that you enjoyed? Did, like, tell me about that.
Enjoyed it immensely. And it's not only the game. I said this in a previous interview. It's how NBC, Peacock, and Studio Lambert treat you as a person. We don't talk about it enough, right? The mental health aspect of these games, both while you're there and after. I'm still getting calls every week from Studio Lambert. How are you? This is the episode coming up this week. This is what you should anticipate. Here's what we're thinking. You know, this is something, you know, you might want to, you know, think about. It's, you don't understand how much that means to have that support after the fact. So because of that, it makes me more willing to do a show again, especially with them, because of how they treated me on the show and after the show. That's a big component to it. So I was very apprehensive about doing another show. It took 10 years. There are other variables like duration, being able to talk to my kids, compensation while you're gone. All those things are factors. But having that type of support before, during, and after is something that I think carries a lot of weight. And I think it's part of the reason you see so many reality people wanting to play Traitors now, because, you know, you have your finger on the pulse. You talk to a lot of people. How many people are coming off Traitors and saying they had a bad experience?
None.
Exactly.
Even the ones that went out early. So yeah, I got it.
I'm sitting here with you. Didn't win.
Yeah.
And I'm happy. I had a great time. And then the game itself is super cool. Yeah. Alan's in character 24/7. The castle's beautiful. The Scottish Highlands are amazing. Just the overall experience is something that I will remember forever. Absolutely. It was something that if it only happens once, it was worth it.
Yeah, I was going to say, did it give you an appetite to maybe do it again, at least even with this network and this studio? Or
yeah, the people involved, you know, and I won't, obviously can't say their names, but yes, if they came to me again, I would trust them. I would trust them that the show is going to be what they say it is, and that the parameters they have established and that they've said were going to be the case when I got there were in fact that everything they said was exactly spot on. From the travel over there, I had to travel from Nashville Crime Con to Scotland that same day. When you see me in the cages, that's when I just landed. And everything they said to a T is exactly how it worked out. And then the game itself, that's on you. Once they close the doors and you're in the castle, you decide your edit, you decide your future in that game. And, you know, I am happy with the way I decided to play. The game is so contingent on who they select as traitors, right?
Yep.
The traitors are going to ultimately dictate the winner of the show. Depending on what the traitors are in fear of or what they value will decide who is successful in the game. So all you can do is go in there, be yourself, play your own game, and hope that your strategy aligns with the people who were selected as the traitors. Because there's no way of knowing it. With Big Brother, you can evaluate your competition and adapt. In the traitors, your strategy, like mine of being aggressive, the Pilot Pete strategy, didn't work this season. It worked last season for him. They were in fear of going after him because it was too obvious. As soon as I did it, Rob murdered me. And, you know, I would say that it's something, you know, you got to talk to Rob, but he himself said it, like he wanted his revenge. That's not Rob. He's not an emotional player. But in that moment, I think he was like, nah, he's going. And so I went.
Wait, so, okay. You might've already answered this, but you show up the first day and you see Wes and Rob in these cages with you. Yeah. Are you like, oh, we're done? Or are you like, you know what? Maybe I could hide behind these guys.
Not only did I think we were done, but candidly, seeing them next to me and knowing their resumes, combined, what, 20, 30 shows, I kind of had like a case of imposter syndrome, because when you really think about it, one didn't fit in with the other. That was me. Second show and I'm up there with them. I didn't even know if anybody was going to know who I was. So I was already a little intimidated by that, being there with them, knowing that these guys do this for a living. right? Literally a living. And then knowing that they were going to hit the ground running, that I had to do it as well. And now getting to watch the show back, I'm very happy with it. I felt like I held my own, and I don't think it showed that I only had two shows under my belt and they had 20. So I was proud of it.
Yeah. Who else from the show did you recognize? Anyone?
I mean, I like reality TV, so I recognized a lot of them. Like, I knew Sandoval. People think like we knew each other before the show. The truth behind that story is when Tom.
Oh, the Sheena of it all.
Yeah, the Sheena of it all. So before, so the funny thing is when he's putting coins in my basket there or whatever it was, the tube, he looks up at me and goes, "How do I know you?" And I'm like, "Oh, I met you with Sheena before." And he's like, "Don't remember that." And he just kept going. But I met Tom, I think twice. It actually was during Nicole Franzel's engagement at when she got engaged in the Big Brother house. Me, Brittany, Josh Martinez, Victor, forgot who else was there. We
Paul?
went Paul. No, was Paul in there? I don't know if Paul was.
I
No.
don't know. Can't remember.
But we went to Tom Tom after that, and Sheena was there. Sheena's a Big Brother fan. And I met Tom that night. And I remember being like, "Hey, I've met you before." And he was like, "Yeah, I don't remember you." So I didn't know Tom beforehand, but I recognized Tom, obviously Danielle and Brittany. I knew Chrishell because she's a big Brother
Yep.
fan. I actually busted her chops. I'm like, you never followed me on Twitter, but you follow everyone else. So that's
Oh.
how we, that's like a running joke. Now we follow each other. Shout out Trishel, Chrishell, not Trishel. Who else? I'm trying to think of who else I recognize. Obviously,
Survivors.
Tony and Jeremy. I know Jeremy personally. He's a friend of mine. We're not super close, but he lives 20 minutes from me. So we've talked over the years. He's my favorite Survivor player. So knew him. Yeah, I knew a lot of them. I knew a lot of them. Not all of them, but I at least Wells. Dorinda wasn't there when I was there. I didn't know a lot of the housewives. But yeah, I had a familiarity with a bunch of them.
Who from the show, like Brittany and Danielle sort of like not clocked you, but was like, "Oh, he's a cop." Were there any thoughts when you watched that back? And did you know that she said that? Like, did you hear her say that?
I didn't know she said it, but I knew it was going to be
Oh.
a topic. But you know, the good thing was Tony was there, and Tony was running around telling people he was a homicide detective.
Is
He
that
was
true?
never a homicide detective. No, no. He told me after the show, he's like, "Dude, I was never in homicide." So I was like, you know, okay, that's a move. I guess you could do that. So he was trying to gain trust with people in there that, you know, his reads would be on. But to be honest, people didn't really say too much like, "Oh, he's a former cop." It was more like he's a former winner. You know, that was the thing that really was a sticking point for people. They didn't give a shit that I was a former cop. They just cared that this guy's done these shows before and he knows how to win them.
Yeah, I was going to ask because we saw you bring it up during the Sierra roundtable or one
Yeah.
of the roundtables.
Yeah.
Did that come up at all other times? Like, listen, I'm a detective. I'm just letting you know these are the signs. I'm not saying
I mean,
you're right.
Clearly it didn't work, right? Like I laid out basically, I thought, an airtight case against Rob, including his origin story of how he became a traitor. And people were like, "Cool story, bro. We're voting for Wes." You
I
know?
feel like that was the just bad luck because of the Danielle and Carolyn stuff.
Yeah.
And then,
Yeah.
yeah, it was not good timing,
No, it was
unfortunately.
not good timing. And, you know, Wes didn't respond the best. That didn't help things.
No, exactly. That did
So
not help.
When he said that to him, like, "I'm coming after you guys," I was like, "Well, on to the next one." You know, that's it. But no, I mean, listen, it's the coulda, shoulda, woulda. Like, I could have made the move sooner. I don't know if it would have made a difference. I think at that point, I didn't realize how much Dylan was in Rob's pocket. I didn't realize
Yeah.
that really trusted Dylan, Rob. I didn't know Chrishell was like really trusting of Rob. I didn't know that these people were talking to him like that. And I didn't anticipate Sam and Ivor, who had the night before said, "We're coming after you," or "We're looking at you if you're still here." I didn't realize that they were going to switch their vote either. So there's a lot of variables you can't control. I went in there. I thought I had a pretty sound argument. I thought it was a better, more compelling argument than what Rob made. But ultimately, as I said at the roundtable, people voted with emotion, not logic. And that's why it played out the way it did. That's why the
Yeah.
next night he went home.
Yeah, the only other thing I was meant to ask you about was the shield, because if
Yeah.
you had you got that shield, you would have been fine, but it
I was
was
going
rock
for it.
paper. Who came up with the rock, paper, scissor idea?
You know, listen, this is a throwback, and nobody has thrown this in my face yet. So I'm going to throw it in my own face. This is
Okay.
karma. This is karma, Sharon. You want to know what the karma? Very long time ago, I was on Big Brother, and we decided to pick Skittles out of a hat.
Yep.
Came back to bite, rocks, paper, scissors. No, I mean, again, it's very quick when they show it. I made an argument. I said, I've never gotten one before. This was the start of the downfall between me and Brittany because I looked at Brittany in that moment, was like, hey, I'd really like the shield because we had a conversation off record earlier in the season where I got her a shield where she was like, I got you. I'm going to pay you back. I thought at that moment she was going to go, yeah, guys, let's just give it to Derek. We don't have a lot of time. She was actually the first one to speak up, going, no, I want the shield too. And that's when you see Chrishell say, let's just do rocks, paper, scissors. So the three of us did rocks, paper, scissors. That's why you see me and her do it. But then Chrishell and Brittany did it. Sam and Dolores stayed out of it. So it was tough. I don't know what else I could have done in that situation. Just grab the shield like Carolyn did. I don't know. I mean, I tried to get this shield. I said I'd never had one before. And you know, I can't, I'm like, oh guys, I need the shield more than you. I'm more important. So what do you do? You know?
Hindsight's 2020.
I was going for it regardless. I was not going to get murdered without unloading what I knew.
Any regrets? Any other thoughts on sort of how your game? It seems like you feel good about the game and the experience.
Yeah, I feel great. It was such a positive experience. It's funny that people are having a more positive response to my play on this show than when I won, which is crazy, but it just goes to the point that people want to be entertained. To be honest, nobody cares who wins that money at the end. They're there for the journey, not the destination. And so it is something that I'm going to take going forward because being myself, being more aggressive, not getting to the end, but having an impact on the show actually appears to be the better route. You know, it seems like it works out a little better. And everyone had a different metric for going in there. Some people wanted to lay low and they wanted to get to the end. They wanted, even if they didn't get any airtime, they wanted just to get to the end. That was not my strategy. I knew what I wanted to do. I knew what my goals were. The number one goal was not getting booted night one. So once I got that, it was like, okay, let me see if I can get halfway. Once I got halfway, it was like, okay, it's time to play the game. It's getting too, and I keep giving the analogy. Traders as a faithful is tough because it's basically you're playing chess against the traders. And in a regular chess game, you're making moves on the board. And the hope is that by the time the trader figures out what you're doing, it's too late. The moves are already set. It's already checkmate. In the actual game, there's a red button sitting next to the chessboard. And as soon as the traders figure out what you're doing, they just punch that button and your game's over. They win. That's the problem. That's the problem. So we'll see how the game evolves over time and what they do to incentivize people to vote correctly and maybe make the shields more valuable. But I think the game's great. I know a lot of people want to play it. The only unfortunate thing is I don't know how many more of our favorite Big Brother Survivor people we're going to see because, and we've talked about this, like I feel like the show is on the trajectory of like a Dancing with the Stars, and you're going to see some big celebrities coming in and playing the game, and it may result in not a lot of like reality people that we know getting the opportunity to play. So I think it's kind of like everyone's going for that piece of cheese right now because the pool is vast. There's a lot of shows to pull from.
Good point. Good point. I think they'll eventually have to switch some stuff up. You touched on something real quick I want to address because you've been accused of being boring, Derek, and I want to know your thoughts on that. And because I do know your thoughts on this, but I want everyone to sort of know your thoughts because you know you're a little boring sometimes on TV, right? Like, this is
Well, I mean, listen,
self-awareness.
the thing is, I am a normal person, you know, so I don't go in there and put on a character. The person you saw is who I am. And so that is boring. Like Carolyn is not putting on a character. That's who she is. And that's why people relate to it because they know that she's just being true to herself. When I went on Big Brother, I was broke and I was there for one reason and one reason only, to win. I needed that money to change my life. And I did that. I wasn't there to impress people or entertain people. I was there to get to the end and win the money. Traders, I'm in a much different position in my life now. You know, I because of Big Brother, honestly, I'm sitting in my studio right now. My coffee company's right next door. I have employees. I have a very good life. And regardless of what happened on Traders, that was going to remain. So going in on this season, I was able to play more loosely, to have a little bit more fun, and take more chances. It was a calculated decision at this point. And without getting into the business side of traders, I won before I even left for Scotland. That's the way you got to remember it. And so going out there and you're willing to play the game the way it's supposed to be played. And speaking with production beforehand, my interpretation of what they wanted from me was they wanted to see me catch a killer. And to a certain degree, that's what I did. I caught the person. I just didn't present the argument at trial that got the conviction. So I was happy with it. I know some people will be critical of it, but I leave the game content with what I did. And ultimately, that's what really matters.
Yeah. All right. Well, last question. Any other shows you'd be willing to do? Dondi, Survivor, like anything?
So we've talked about this off camera before. Obviously, we're friends. But yeah, it would be something that I would consider, especially with the way this went, right? The positive outcome that came from it, the positive experience. But it would have to be the right situation. And you've asked me this question before, and it still remains. For anybody out there who's thinking about calling me, and it's interesting, you know this. We don't have to play dumb.
I have to ask. So people,
I just got a call for a show, and we talked about this. And it's a show that everyone knows, and I turned it down, right? But there's a couple pillars that have to be met in order for me to play again. Duration, the compensation, obviously, and being able to talk to my kids. For anybody out there who's thinking about calling me, if you're going to tell me I can't talk to my kids while I'm playing, don't call me. It's a non-starter for me before everything else. My kids are 12 and 9. They're the driving force behind basically everything I do. It's why I wear these chains on every show that I do. And, you know, it's one of those things where if that's not in the cards, I'm not doing it. So most of these shows, I think, allow for that now, especially when we talk about mental health. So would I do a show again? Potentially, but it's also very possible that this is my last hurrah. And if it is, what a way to go out.
Well, thanks, Derek. would you let your daughters play Big Brother or any of these shows?
Of course. Of course.
You would?
Of course. Yeah, of course I would. It's an experience you have to have once. The second time you play, you're basically like, I think about Nicole Franzel playing 3 times and I'm like, I don't know how she does it. Like, honestly, you got to have some mental fortitude that I just don't have. But yeah, I mean, listen, Big Brother was amazing. It was amazing. The experience was so much fun and I had a great cast. That's the one final thing I'll say. How lucky am I? I've had two awesome casts. Like, I get along with everybody from 16. I mean, we're not best friends. You have trials and tribulations throughout the years, but I don't dislike anybody. It just, maybe we're not close anymore. Same thing with Traitors. Talk to all the cast. We get along with each other. Well, I shouldn't say that. Not everyone gets along with each other. That'll come out at the reunion.
We'll see at the reunion. Yeah.
But I get along with everybody. So two great experiences, two great casts, and I'm leaving there with memories that I'll have for the rest of my life. Like, I'm winning.
Yeah. Well, Derek, thank you for chatting with me. I honestly never, as your friend, I never thought we would see you on reality TV again. I honestly didn't.
Me and you both.
So it was really fun. And thank you. Yeah.
Thanks for having me. And I'll see you in 10 years.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.